Hi, this is Bill Arnold. Missed a show or need me talking to help you sleep tonight? I have several solutions to that situation. Here are the podcasts from the show. You are the best for listening and supporting Faith Radio.
Evening at 6.
And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Me. I'm Bill Arnold. I'm awfully glad you're with me today. I hope your day is good, and I hope your weekend was good. It was always nice to be back at work on Mondays. I like Mondays. And we've got a great hour coming up, starting with Larry Fowler, who wrote a book called Overcoming Grandparenting Barriers. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. Let's take a break and bring on Larry.
Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Middays. As you know, we are a listener-supported station, and you've heard me say this many times before. We couldn't do what we do without you, and we absolutely wouldn't want to. So as we approach the end of our fiscal year, know that there's a gap between what's been pledged and what's been given so far. So will you help us close that gap before the end of this month? Fulfill your pledge or give us your best gift now at 877-933-2484 or online at myfaithradio.com. Thank you so much.
More and more people are downloading the free Faith Radio app. They're listening to the live stream, accessing program podcasts, and staying informed on the latest contests and events. You can download the free Faith Radio app anytime in iTunes or Google Play. Just search for Faith Radio. Download the app and start listening. Take Faith Radio with you wherever you go with the free Faith Radio app.
Welcome back to the show. I'm really delighted to be talking to Larry Fowler today. He's written a book called Overcoming Grandparenting Barriers. And believe me, your grandkids need you, and I would venture to say you need them. But there are certainly problems that arise, and Larry's going to be here to help us navigate some of the painful problems with grace and truth. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great to be with you, Bill.
Thank you so much. Tell me a little bit about the Legacy Coalition.
Well, we're a ministry that started just 3 years ago, and it was birthed out of just a real passion and a calling that we felt to give attention to the role of grandparents, because the role of grandparents is pretty much overlooked in churches across the United States and really in the big church as well. There wasn't hardly anything to encourage or equip churches, and we wanted to fill that void.
Yeah. So I'd love to hear just your little personal grandparenting journey. What does it look like?
Well, my grandparenting journey of really being serious about grandparenting started when my daughter's marriage failed. And she and her three little ones moved in with us, and I became both grandpa and dad to those little boys. And my son-in-law had, at that time, had made some terrible choices in life, and I was determined that I did not want my grandsons to make the same mistakes and follow in the sins of their father. So, you know, it was a start for me of being much more intentional as a grandfather. But then a number of years later, after my daughter had remarried and that situation settled, I began to study scripture, especially the passages in the Old Testament that related to generation after generation. And I was actually working on writing a curriculum. Nothing ever came of the curriculum, but those passages did a real work in my heart through the work of the Holy Spirit. And in particular, to really impress on me that I still had a biblical responsibility as a grandfather to be involved in passing on faith to my grandkids. You know, Bill, it isn't to be a like a relay baton pass in track and field where one generation does it, they pass a baton to the next, and then they're done. That's not the way it's supposed to be. There is to be an overlap, and both parents and grandparents biblically are to be involved in passing on faith to the grandkids. And when I saw that, that not only made me much more concerned to be intentional as a grandparent, but then eventually led to the starting of the Legacy Coalition.
Mm-hmm. Now, have your grandkids... have they been able to maintain a relationship with your son-in-law's parents as well?
My son-in-law's parents are deceased. He was adopted, and so there really were not any other grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
They had passed away early on, so we were kind of it.
Okay, Larry, what happens when there gets to be a power struggle and the kids almost become a pawn in that power struggle?
What you mean in terms of the marriage itself or between grandparents?
No, when it comes in terms of the grandparents and how much time the grandparents get.
Oh, sure.
And I want my parents to be the favorite grandparents versus, you know, your parents.
Yeah. Well, those are some of the dilemmas, that the barriers that have to be overcome. And of course, there are no simple, easy answers to that. The answer for those of us that are believers is that we need to do everything we can to reflect Jesus as much as possible in how we do things. And to me, a lot of that is to make sure that we're responding with grace as much as possible. Mm. You know, Jesus was the embodiment of grace, and he approached many, many personal relationships with a strategy of grace, and we want to do the same.
Yeah, Larry, you say in the book that we learn the most about God when life is hard, not when it is easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know there's going to be grandparents that are going to be, their ears have already perked up because we're talking about the grandkids. And what happens when the grandparents, you know, they're connecting with their kids and they've got some geographical issues or some, you know, personal or spiritual barriers going on?
Well, my book is based upon the premise that the barriers can be barriers to grandparenting can be summarized by the word distance. But there's more than one kind of distance. There's geographical distance, and that one's tough enough. You know, when they live 5 or 6 hours away, or maybe even across the country, across the ocean, it's really tough to have an influence in their lives. But it can be done, especially with technology. The greater barriers of distance are the relational distance and spiritual distance. You know, when you have a broken relationship between you and your adult kids, then that impacts your ability to be able to work with your grandkids. And then if there's spiritual distance, like the classic story I share, Bill, is that I was teaching about this issue of grandparenting. And at the end of my session, a lady stood up and she said, "But Larry, what do I do? My son has said I can see my granddaughter or I can talk to her about God, but I can never do both because the minute that I mention God, I never will be allowed to see my granddaughter again." So how do you have a spiritual influence when the adult son, you know, the parent is closing that door and saying you can't? That's when frustration and pain and hurt really settle in.
Wow, that is really sad. That's some, I don't like the word, that's emotional manipulation at its best.
Well, and unfortunately, it's much more common than what we talk about in our churches. You know, it's not the kind of thing that gets put on prayer request lists, but it is one a pain. It's actually a greater pain than any physical ailment, but we often don't feel comfortable sharing it with others. Mm-hmm. We should, but we don't.
Larry, why do you think that the pain of grandparents seem to be more difficult than other pains that they've experienced in their own lives? I mean, what is it about grandkids and grandparenting that just makes the pain so intense?
Yeah, well, I have a theory. I mean, it's my theory, but I believe that it is because, number one, the relationship is closer. Relational pains are always greater when someone close to you breaks that relationship or it becomes tense or whatever. So the closer the relationship, the greater the pain. Then you add on top of that the fact that often grandparents are in a position where they can't do very much. They want to. You know, they're the parent of the adult child. When that person was little and there was a relational issue, you know, they punished them or did whatever to solve the relational issue. Now that they become an adult, you still want to step in and you still want to bring healing or resolution, but often you can't. And so that feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, it just adds to the pain and makes it worse.
So if we're going to talk about having authority and power in a grandchild's life, certainly the very first place to start is in prayer, I would imagine.
Well, of course, but and I think most Christian grandparents understand that. In mm-hmm. fact, a good friend of mine, Josh Mulvihill, was a part of the founding of our ministry and has done research on it, would summarize the attitude of most Christian grandparents as pray and play. In other words, we get the pray part. We don't always get being intentional in other areas, but we certainly get the prayer part. Now, that doesn't mean we couldn't pray more effectively, more intentionally, but most grandparents know to pray. After that, they are often just stymied, and they don't know what to do. But there are things they can do.
We're going to take a short break. Larry Fowler is my guest. His book is called Overcoming Grandparenting Barriers, How to Navigate Painful Problems with Grace and Truth. We'll take a short break and be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I've got Larry Fowler as my guest. He's written a book called Overcoming Grandparenting Barriers, How to Navigate Painful Problems with Grace and Truth. So you talk about in your book how you want to help the readers find hope and help and even some ideas. So if you wouldn't mind, just to try to talk about these things and how Scripture is used in your book to help grandparents find hope and help and just ideas.
Well, let me start with what I think is the biggest premise of my book and the one concept that I have seen that's been most helpful to grandparents that feel out of hope. You know, when you've tried everything and it just doesn't seem to be working, you've tried talking to your adult kids about maybe they're walking away from the Lord and, you know, being spiritually distant, and or like the lady that I shared about, her son is saying you can't even mention God to grandkids. When you are faced with that and you've tried everything and you feel hopeless, I think hope comes from a new strategy. And the strategy that I suggest is Jesus' strategy. You know, Bill, the first half of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John is a wonderful passage about the deity of Jesus. And verse 14, the end of the paragraph, ends with these words, "He was full of grace and truth." And we know that Jesus was a complete embodiment of truth, but he was also the complete embodiment of grace. What's fascinating to me is Jesus didn't always, as a strategy, lead with truth, nor did he always lead with grace, even though he was both. He really led with truth with the Pharisees. You know, he called them, "You brood of vipers." That wasn't very grace-filled, but it was certainly truth, and because that's the way they were acting. And also with the disciples. But what's fascinating is with sinners, he always led with grace. And that's a new strategy that I think many times Christian grandparents fail to put into practice.
All right.
So if we lead with truth, it means that we just want to tell them. And after all, we're their parents. So, we just want to tell them when they're wrong or tell them what they should be doing. You know, you ought to be bringing your kids to church. We'll say that. Well, what's that? That's leading with truth. Leading with grace is different. And the greatest story in the Bible that illustrates that, in my opinion, is when the woman that was caught in adultery was brought to Jesus by the group of men. And they wanted Jesus to pronounce truth to her. They said, the law says that she was caught in the very act. The law says to her to be stoned. What do you say? And Jesus refused to lead with truth. Instead, he led with grace. Remember, he wrote in the sand, and then all the guys disappear.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus says, "So where are your accusers?" She says, "They're gone." He says, "Neither do I condemn you." All of that was leading with grace. And then at the end, he speaks truth. And he led with grace so that she was ready to hear truth, I believe. And we can do the same thing with our adult kids when there is tension. Leading with grace often looks like saying, "I'm sorry," or forgiving. You know, that's an important part of leading with grace. Another quick story, a grandma came to me and said, all three of my kids have converted to Buddhism. What do I do? And when she came and told me that, Bill, I don't think I had a real good answer for her. I don't even remember what I said, but I'm sure it wasn't real smart.
I bet it was.
And then a few months later, I was at Focus on the Family talking with some of their leaders and mentioned the story. Afterwards, one of their counselors came up to me and he said, you know what I would have said, Larry? And I was all ears because I wanted to know. He said, I would have told her, start learning about Buddha. And that was a fascinating answer to me. You know, he wasn't saying you convert to Buddhism. He wasn't even saying appreciate Buddha. He was saying try to understand. And trying to understand is also an act of grace. Mm-hmm. And for many grandparents, that may be the place to start. To try to understand, why did your adult child begin to fall away from faith? Why did they begin to get disinterested? Why are they making the stands that they do now? There's probably an underlying reason, and maybe they haven't had an opportunity to express that. That's leading with grace.
Yeah, that's lovely. Larry, I think there's a lot of grandparents today that are operating kind of in that parent mode, much like the way you have been. That's kind of your story. I would love to have you share some of the challenges of this relationship and how God can use this situation to impact all the generations involved.
When the grandparents are parents?
Yes.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges of doing that relationship? Because you want to be the grandparent first and foremost, but then you're also the parent. And I see a lot of grandparents in that situation today.
Well, when you are both grandparent and parent, in other words, when you have custody of the kids, I'll tell you what, one of the biggest challenges is just getting tired. If you are a grandparent raising grandkids, I know one thing about you that's for sure. You are tired. and you know, I get tired with my little grandkids coming over for a whole day.
Uh-huh.
And to have them all the time. And then the second thing that adds on top of that is you're not only tired, you have no support system, generally speaking. Because of the family dynamics, the very reason you have custody also means that the support system is just not there. And that's where the church needs to step up and really do all that they can to be a help to grandparents raising grandkids. That's a critical need. In fact, Bill, I would say I think that grandparents raising grandkids need support more than single moms. I'm not either right now, but mm-hmm. but single moms usually have a grandma or a sister or somebody that is there to kind of help. Usually, grandparents raising grandkids have nobody. They're all alone to take care of those kids 24/7.
All right, Larry, I know it's important for grandparents to, you know, try to be as active and intentional as they can to be living out the gospel in front of their grandkids and their families. But if you're in a situation like you described earlier where the daughter said to the mom, you can either be with my son or you can share Jesus, but you can't do both. How do you live out the gospel in front of them and live with great conviction about what you believe and what you want your grandchildren to understand, and do that in a way that is you're going to keep everyone in the family is still speaking to each other.
Well, I would say you need to honor that request. There's an underlying reason why that is being said, and any attempt to undermine that will probably result in the relationship even getting worse. So very first thing to focus on is how do I restore the relationship to a good enough point where we can actually have a conversation, an open conversation about this. So that would be number one is to make sure that you are focusing on restoring the relationship. Influence comes through relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It does not come through control or anything else. And one mistake that grandparents often make is they resort back to parenting when the relationship goes sour. You know, after all, they're your kids. So you want to control them. You want to tell them. So One of the things that we say often in our seminars is you are still the parent noun, but you no longer parent verb unless asked.
Excellent.
And that's critical. That is really critical to live that out.
That's a great point, Larry. I love that. So we just have a couple of minutes left. I was just wondering if we can sort of leave on a high note. I mean, there's so many issues we could still talk about. For example, I mean, when couples get divorced and all of a sudden the division happens and the grandkids are split, I mean, it's got to be so brutal for the grandparents just to try to help navigate through that barrier.
Yes, and the most important thing a grandparent can do is to be the stable, to be there.
Mm-hmm.
To be the stable thing in the grandchild's life. You can't take sides as much as possible. You can't. But you do want to give the grandchildren, who often are feeling all the intensity of this breakup in their family, you want to give them a safe place to go, whether it's a physical safe place of your home or whether it's the symbolic safe place of just conversations with you, but you want to be the safe place that they can go.
Mm-hmm. So just a little word of hope as we wrap our time up.
Well, interestingly, that story that I told you about the grandma,
yes.
she honored what her granddaughter, or what the parents said about her granddaughter. And God gave her other opportunities to get close to her granddaughter and have an incredible influence in her life. And the same thing can happen to you. You know, as you think about responding with grace to your adult children and to your grandchildren when life is hard, God will do that. Grace is nearly irresistible. And I'm talking about the grace that we give, not the God's grace, but the grace that we give on behalf of God to our family members. It is nearly irresistible. And if you respond that way, God will use you in your family's lives.
Larry, I so appreciate what you've written, and I love your spirit and your attitude. I know there's a lot of grandparents listening today, and they're probably dealing with some hurt. Would you, with less than a minute, would you close with a word of prayer for these folks?
Oh, absolutely. Heavenly Father, I do believe that you often allow the hardest things of life to come into our experience to help to shape us and to mold us, or to mold or shape those around us. And Father, for those grandparents that are hurting right now, we pray that you will take that pain that they're feeling and use it for good. We pray that you will knock off the rough edges of the grandparents and help them to become more Christ-like in all they do. And we pray, Father, that as they do that, that they would be effective in building relationships and representing Jesus in the lives of their families, both their adult children and their grandchildren. I pray for your special blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Larry, thank you so much for doing the show. Really has been nice to meet you, and I love your material and in your book, Overcoming Grandparenting Barriers, How to Navigate Painful Problems with Grace and Truth. Larry Fowler has been my guest. Thank you so much, Larry.
Thank you, Bill.
Yep, have a great day. We'll take a short break, and then, of course, we'll be right back.
For Middays with Susie Larson on Faith Radio.
I hope your afternoon's going well. I'm so glad you're still with me. And if you're just jumping into your car, you're going to enjoy this half hour for certain. I've got Rob Barrett in the studio, and he's got quite a past, quite a history, quite an interesting work, family life. You've kind of done it all. He's been married to his wife, Jan, for 28 years. They got a couple of kids. He's been a professor, an Emmy Award-winning composer. He does music. He has done the co-host of Cooking for Dads online with segments on KSTP on a lot of local television. It's also been featured in the Today Show, New York Times, USA Today, The Guardian, and many more. You do a little bit of everything, and there's still more to come. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you. If you knew me, you made me sound so good. If you didn't know me, you'd think that I'd been a pretty cool person. If you know me, you're like, nah. That's, he's making that stuff up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm wondering when you run off and join the circus, but, you know. There's
no plans on that. Did you see the high wire walk?
I did. Yeah, nuts.
That was amazing.
I know.
That's not for me.
No,
I couldn't watch. I had to go away. My palms are all sweaty and stuff. It just is like, no, not for me.
Yeah. Well, I know you are not afraid of taking big risks in life, and you're certainly not afraid of the next big challenge. Because every time I turn around and hear a Rob Barrett story, you're doing something cool.
You are
brushing elbows with lots of interesting clients and lots of interesting countries. You've traveled all over the world. You've worked and recorded music in Pakistan, Tunisia, Chad, Uganda, Ethiopia. I mean, you just kind of are everywhere and anywhere.
You know, God doesn't call us to do great things. He calls us to do small things, and then he'll make them great.
I agree.
You just do stuff, you know? I mean, it's just amazing the amount of information that's out there. You know, last summer we decided to, or 2 summers ago, we decided to renovate our kitchen. And so I got a guy to come and bid it, and he was going to scrape off the popcorn ceiling. We live in Eden Prairie,
yeah.
So it's all popcorn and oak,
sure.
Right? It's just popcorn and oak, popcorn and oak. They just sprayed that stuff everywhere. And so we're going to get it scraped off, and I got a guy came out and gave us a bid, $1,300.
Oh.
And I said, well, okay, cool. And then I'm watching some YouTube videos. I'm thinking, maybe I can do it. I don't know. I'm going to start in the corner, and I'll go as far as I can. And if I get stuck, we'll call the guy, right? You know what
yeah.
I mean? And I'll say, yeah, sorry, I tried, but I failed. You know, and then you watch more videos, and I went all the way across. And then, okay, how do you mud it? And you watch some stuff. And sometimes you just start things. You just take that step. You just step a faith and say, God, if this is from you, breathe on it. Otherwise, I'll call the guy.
Yeah, right. Well, at least when you asked for a written estimate, he didn't draw a little picture of an arm and a leg. You know, that's usually what they do.
No.
Because they charge through the roof for stuff. So speaking of taking the next big step, tell our listeners about what's on your plate.
Yeah. So I'm running to be your senator in the U.S. Senate.
Wow.
In Minnesota.
That's kind of a big announcement.
2020. There you go. You've heard it here. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Here in the state of Minnesota.
Okay. People say, what district? This is we have two senators for the whole state. We have Amy Klobuchar and Tina Smith, and I will be challenging Tina Smith for her seat. She just won just a year ago against Karen Housley. But that was the finish up Al Franken's seat. So she won that election.
Yes.
Only has two more years, has to run again in 2020. And, we can talk about the story, but I just, you know, I felt called to go after it.
Okay, I do want to hear the story because I find it fascinating.
Well, people will say, are you crazy?
Okay.
And we all know the answer to that is, of course.
That is, of course, yes.
Yes, right. But why would you want to do this? Why would you want to put yourself out there? Why would you want to come under the microscope of the media? And, you know, one of my friends said, I never thought you'd want to be publicly vivisected.
Yes.
So which I had to look that up, I think. And I think that's a fair thing. But what started it was I got tired of apologizing. I got tired of apologizing to my kids and to my classes. So I teach at North Central University,
mm-hmm.
and I teach in the music business and music production, and I teach an adulting class there, actually. But I got tired of apologizing because I would kind of just joke with them, like, sorry about all this debt we're leaving you in. Good luck.
Yeah.
You know, sorry about this healthcare system. It's going to bankrupt you, you know, but good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for all this division that we've created. You know, good luck. And I kind of got convicted is not the right word, but the thought was like, why don't you do something about it? You know, especially this last year when kind of it appears that we have elected crazy people. Not this last year, the last three, four.
Mm-hmm.
That you watch the news and you kind of, I don't know if you get tired of yelling at the TV, but, you know, I do. And, you know, let's get some adults in the room or some normal people in the room. And it started with just the thought of, why don't you do something? And it was like, well, okay. But it just kind of kept growing and growing and growing. And I was, my prayer was like, Lord, take this away.
Yeah.
No.
That'd have been my prayer too.
This is crazy talk. This is crazy talk. I can't do this.
Yeah.
Take this away. And it just kind of kept growing. And so I'm a big Wesleyan quadrilateral guy. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's Charles Wesley would make decisions based upon four things: prayer and leading.
Yes.
And then counsel, scripture, and then circumstances. Okay. So I was praying and it wouldn't go away. Let me get some counsel. So I talked with five people that had just lost elections in 2018, like Jeff Johnson and my friend Brad Aho and some others, and said, please talk me out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me this is crazy.
Yeah.
And all five of them basically said, we kind of like it. You should go for it. And I was like, no, that wasn't the answer I was looking for, right?
Yeah.
And then, the council and then the circumstances were really interesting because sometimes you take a lot of divergent paths and you kind of go, what am I doing with my life? You know, before I started teaching at North Central, I was a music producer. I was a worship leader. I was a technical director. I had started this YouTube video thing and did social media. I was an artist. And you looked at that and you said, that doesn't make any sense at all. Then I became a professor and it all made total sense. I could teach people how to do all those things and, you know, how to promote themselves on YouTube, and it all made total sense. And in some ways, this race made sense. So all of a sudden, I find myself, I'm in the role of a professor. So we elect professors to this seat.
Yeah, we do.
This is the Wellstone seat, you know. For the past 11 years, for some unknown reason, I've been on cooking shows all over Hennepin County. And in Minnesota, doing this cooking for dad thing, sharing recipes with the dominant force in the elections, which are women. Mm-hmm. They decide. So I don't think I have a huge audience, but I have something, you know. And then just our time in life, my youngest graduated from Northwestern here. Yay, go Eagles.
Mm.
And in May. And so we paid our last college check back in January. And that felt great.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And we don't have any grandkids, so I'm not missing any soccer games. And my kids are out and about. So it was just this kind of like all these things coming together to like, you know, why don't you pursue this and go after this? So we just started. I just started in the corner. We started scraping off popcorn.
You know,
we just took some steps. And we started speaking at conventions and meeting with people and then going to the next step. And we've been going to county fairs and we put out brochures and we put out a launch video. And wrote a song about unity, which didn't start off being a song about unity. It was going to be a song kind of about Minnesota. And then it was like Minnesota come together, work together, hand in hand to get things done. You know, we need to talk together, walk together. We can make Minnesota one, which was a weird thing. I wasn't planning on writing that, but that's just how it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you have videos and Facebook pages and websites. And yeah, we just kept going.
All right, Rob, tell me what it was like discussing this with your wife, Jan.
Yeah.
Well, because she's in on this too.
Right.
She's got to be in 100%.
100%, right?
Yeah.
She had to be in, and she was negative
100%. Negative 100%.
Completely opposed. Okay. When the first time I started talking about this, this was what happened. I said, maybe I should do this. She goes, stop talking. You're making me angry. So we'd gone through these steps, and this is part of the circumstances, you know, the leading council, scripture, and circumstances. If my wife is against this, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, God leads me, but God also leads her. And so we have to be 100% on the same page. And so I said, God, if you want me to run, it's very simple. You have to convince her because I can't do that.
Yeah.
And you have to convince her and get her on board. Otherwise, we just won't do it. You know, we have a kind of a comfortable life right now. We sit on I finished the ceiling. We put in a new fireplace. We got a new couch. We sit on the couch and we watch the British baking show. And it's very comfortable. You know, we don't have to do this.
Yeah.
And she was kind of like, I like our lives. I don't want to, you know, be publicly vivisected or whatever.
Yeah.
And,
which is the word of the day, by the way.
By the way, yes.
I don't even know how to spell it, but it's the word of the day.
Yes, I'm hoping I'm using it correctly now.
Probably not, but it doesn't matter.
Yes. It was just kind of a miracle. Through a period of steps and over time, we actually met with Jeff Johnson and his wife, Sandy, and she was a saint. And they just kind of talked us through, these are the things to expect. This is what's going to happen. You know, people are going to lie to your face. They're going to lie. You're going to know they're lying. And they're going to know that you know they're lying. But you have to keep going with this stuff. And we found that out to be true, by the way, relatively quickly.
Yeah.
So she had to get on board. Otherwise, we weren't going to do it, very simply. And all of a sudden, one day, she goes, let's do this thing.
Wow. So what did you learn about your marriage after that?
We're learning a lot.
Yeah. I mean, because this is a whole new chapter. This is a whole new dimension to the relationship.
Everything we're doing, we've never done before.
And you're off the couch going to county fairs now.
We're not watching much British baking show.
No, you're not.
Right. So You know, I've never done an announcement video before. So what does that look like?
Exactly. I mean, you know how to do production. You know how to do everything.
Right.
So you're the right guy for the job.
But it's really stressful. So we said, hey, let's do this thing. And so at the beginning on Monday, we had nothing. Zero, none, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So first we had to write the song, then record the song, then mix it and get it all ready, and then try to get people to come together and be in the choir. And we said, hey, we sent out all as much notices as we can. We're going to be on Monday night. We're going to be down by the Stone Arch Bridge at 6 o'clock. We're going to record this choir thing. Please come. And I'm sitting there at 5:45 with no one. And you're thinking,
oh boy, man.
And so finally, trickle in. We had five people. You don't know who's going to show
right?
up. We're thinking this is like a little, you know, the Temptations or something. And I'm just like, this is not going to work. And, you know, it's been stressful all week knowing this is coming.
Yeah.
So then we actually went around the corner to where the Guthrie, where our first shot was, and there's 20 people waiting.
Oh.
And we're like, this is
going to work.
And so we shot it, and then relief. And it was just, so that's everything we're doing is new. So over this weekend, we went to the Norman County Fair and the Wadena County Fair.
Okay.
Now, I've never been to a county fair in.
They're charming, aren't they?
They're wonderful.
Yeah,
but,
they are fun.
You know, what do you expect? You know, how do you engage people? You know, I've never been a politician at a county fair before. So every single day is like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're out of your comfort zone, and that can be stressful.
But you've got the perfect personality for this, Rob. You really do. I mean, you don't have any problem connecting to people and being engaging and being delightful. And that's part of the process.
Well, it is good that I'm an extrovert. I will say this.
Yes.
So we went to, it's 4.5-hour drive up to the Norman County Fair. So we met people up there. I just went that alone. And actually, I stopped in a little town that I discovered on the way called, ready for this? Barrett, Minnesota.
Perfect.
I couldn't believe it. How have I not heard of this? It's on Barrett Lake.
Did you get a picture taken by the sign?
I
hope.
So I said, I'm going to Barrett. You know, so I stopped. This is on the way up. I see Barrett, Minnesota. I have to go. Spelled the right way and everything.
Oh, wow.
I just want to get a picture by the sign. Welcome to Barrett, right?
Yeah.
You know, 452 people. Everything in the town is named Barrett. It's like the Barrett. And they had the fire guys, the firemen there, and they were doing a pig roast. And so they had the Barrett firemen t-shirts. So I got to get a photo of them. And
t-shirt.
Right. So I ate at the Barrett Inn. I had the Barrett burger. It was Barrett days that day. It was just crazy. So
give me a sign, Lord. Any sign.
Lord, what do you want me to do? So then I drove up and did the county fair, came back for that night for the rib fest at Barrett, drove home, got back in the car. And three of us went up to the Wadena County Fair. We had met a ton of people there, drove back that night. That morning, we go to River Valley, and we were signed up to be greeters. So I'm sitting there greeting people. I'm like, I have shook more hands this weekend than I have shook my entire life put together.
Yeah.
So, but you know, being an extrovert, that's energizing to me. So that's okay. So
yeah.
I'm lucky in that way. But
yeah.
That's weekend one. You know, 700 to go. Right.
That's a lot of weekends ahead. 498
right.
days away from election. So let's take a little break. Rob Barrett is my guest, and we're going to take a short break and be back. How about that for a campaign song? Put that together. Rob Barrett Jr. is my guest, and that was nicely done, Rob.
Why, thank you.
And, boy, you got some talented singers that showed up, too.
The two main soloists are Ellington and Tawana Porter.
Okay.
They're teachers at North Central,
yeah.
And they are just the best. They just bring it.
They brought the goods.
Yeah, they are so awesome.
Yeah.
They're great on camera, and, you know, I'd never worked with them before, so you never know.
Yeah.
So once again, stress, right? how's this going to go?
Get
you know?
Used to stress.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this process, and I know as a believer, you want to have godly principle values, and I think you're bringing that to the table, which is fantastic.
Yeah, everyone says, you know, where do you stand on the issues? And one of the things we decided to do as a campaign was to, let's figure out our values first.
Mm-hmm.
And our values are going to then, you know, inform or steer
sure.
where we stand, you know. So we just started writing stuff down, like unity, you know, because and unity and civility. You know, right now we're so polarized as a nation. Everywhere you go, I mean, it's a little scary.
You think that's going to improve?
Only if we decide that it needs to.
Okay.
Only if we say, hey, you know, we're Americans, and we need to find things that we agree on a lot more than we disagree, and then we have to stop trying to score easy political points.
Yeah.
You know, they'll take pot shots. Someone will misspeak. Even Ilhan Omar will misspeak, and everyone jumps down her throat and like, okay, she would, you know, yes, but she's not trying to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, wasn't trying to comment on 9/11. You know, she was trying to talk about something else. And everyone, you know, tweet. That gets you elected, and it gets you supported in the moment, but long term it causes damage to the country. Mm-hmm. You know, so trying to avoid those kind of things.
Yeah,
you know.
So what other values will bring civility to our country?
Right. Well,
through the Rob Barrett Jr. U.S. Senate campaign.
One of the things we're going to talk about more is responsibilities more than rights.
Okay.
We spend so much time in our country saying rights. What are my rights?
I know.
And how about what are your responsibilities?
That's fantastic.
You know, JFK, when he gave his talk, you know, when his inauguration, he says, ask not what you can do for what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Can you imagine? People don't say that anymore.
No.
It's just like, no, healthcare is my right. You know, I have a right to your service. I have a right to it. And it's like, well, what's your responsibility to take care of yourself?
Right.
And to, you know, and to eat well and that kind of stuff. So one of the values is responsibility. The other, another one was the environment. You know, we have a wide spectrum currently going on in the government between people who say there's no global warming, and other people who say that cow farts are destroying the planet. We need to get rid of all cows and planes and trains.
Right.
And I'm kind of in the middle there. I'm like, I like a good steak, but you know, I don't. You know, I don't believe that car exhaust is causing all the problems in the world, and yet I don't want my face to be right down there breathing it.
Right.
So that's, you know, somewhere in the middle there. Fairness is a key thing. You know, people always will talk about people should pay their fair share. Well, we should have fairness all around. You know,
about that.
Whenever you talk about someone who wants to fund the Green New Deal or something like that, people will say, well, we need to hit the top 10% or 1%. You know, 1% of the senators need to pay more. Well, let's have a conversation. How much should someone pay to live in the country?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to live here in America, what is this going to cost? You know, 44% of people don't pay any taxes in the federal. So, fairness, you know, fairness in healthcare. You know, why should one person pay more or less for the same amount of care? You know, we need to kind of just keep that in mind. It's not the only value, right?
Mm-hmm.
You also have responsibility.
Right.
But let's keep fairness in mind, you know. So fairness, opportunity is one. This is one of my key ones. This I get all excited about. So do you want government to create opportunities or to create outcomes? You can't have both.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, pick
if
one.
The government is going to create a level playing field and give everyone the same opportunity, you're going to have differences in outcome. Because there's more different talents, there's different effort, you know, there's different resources to different people, so they're going to have different outcomes. If you try to even out the outcomes, you ruin the evenness of opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want our government to say, you know, we're going to equal out the opportunities, you know, a trophy for everyone, or we're going to say, no, we're going to create a level playing field, and we're going to have the infrastructure there for you, and then, you know, some will fail and some will succeed, you know. Jeff Bezos made $67 billion one year, and I was like, good for you. You know, I mean, good for him. You know, I mean, it's a lot of money, but it was the same year Kirk Cousins got his big, you know, who I'm a big fan of. He got his big contract, and it was like 7 million Kirk Cousins or something like that.
Yeah. But those guys can no longer file the short form, which is such a convenience for me.
No, I don't think they can.
I don't think they can.
So opportunity, compassion. So this is a great one. We want to be compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to be compassionate. One of our kind of things that we do in our campaign is we say 4-3-2 a lot. And that's a hashtag. And what it means is be kind and compassionate and forgive each other. It comes from Ephesians 4:32.
Yeah, I was about to say.
So
I've
be
got
kind
that
and
memorized.
Compassionate. Right. And so with the hashtag, our announcement video started off with 4-3-2. We say that, you know, all the time. It's
I
kind
love
of an
that.
Undercurrent because we want our campaign to be kind and compassionate.
I like that a lot.
Along with you, mix that in with the unity, and you may have something there, you know. Unity is another one. And then the last one is security. Really, the main thing that U.S. government should do in the federal level is keep us safe.
I agree.
You know, number one, keep us safe.
Yeah.
So when you talk about the border, for instance, you know, where do you stand on the border? Should we build the wall? You know, well, we need to have compassion, but we also need to have security.
Mm-hmm.
You need them both.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't have just security and no compassion. You can't have compassion and no security, right? So the president at the college where I teach, he says it like this. He goes, we don't need to build a wall. We need to build a gateway. You know,
yeah.
We need to let people come in more easily and legally, but we need to have security as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an interesting thing going on in our country, and it's kind of, I've noticed it through internet memes. So remember blue dress, gold dress?
Yes,
I do. Because I dressed, and people were like, oh, it's gold. No, it's blue.
Yeah.
We're looking at the same set of facts now and coming in, and we're looking at the same picture and saying two different things. You know, I work out at Lifetime Fitness, and they used to have Fox News and CNN right next to each other. And you'd be watching these guys go. You're like, the skies are different colors in your world.
Right.
You know, one of you says the dress is gold. The dress is gold. Everyone's going, the dress is blue. The dress is blue. You know, people look at the border and say, it's an emergency. Everyone says, the other people say it's not. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're in this place where we're looking at the same thing, and we're not even agreeing on the facts.
That's so true.
That's beyond my ability to change, but I've noticed that, and we need to find people who will say, hey, I think it's blue. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it's bluish gold.
Yeah, yeah. So, Rob, people are spending ridiculous amounts of money to be in politics nowadays. I mean, I think the campaign budgets and all of the money that gets spent is the biggest numbers I've ever seen.
Right, right.
I mean, so you're stepping into this without a lot of political experience, right?
Right. I don't know the big donors, you know.
Yeah, you're the newcomer. I got $8 to $10. I'd be happy to throw your way, but
yes, www.robbarrettforsenate.com. Click on the contribute button.
It's daunting, isn't it?
It was daunting. It was very daunting. You know, the last race in 2018, there were two Senate races, but they spent $24 million.
Wow.
And that was largely on the Democratic side.
Mm-hmm.
Tina, they both spent around 10. And the rest been about four.
Yeah.
And it seems insane. $24 million. And the reason it seems insane is because all the studies show that all those ads that they buy, you know, the worst part about elections is what? Negative ads, right?
Right.
You know, it's, you know, sleazy this and evil, wicked this. And it's just nonstop. And the studies have shown that they don't work. You know, the Minnesotans, 80% of Minnesotans make up their mind before September. All the ads run September and October.
That's true.
So $24 million for what? So
yeah, that's a good point.
So we're trying to do some stuff some different ways, some online marketing things. But, you know, we don't live in a world where you don't need money to run the race. We need money to run the race. And, you know, $10 million is a lot of money. But you know who it's not a lot of money to?
Who?
God. I mean, yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, when we were kind of like, where are we going to possibly raise millions of dollars, and I just felt it's just paper to God.
So in your quiet time with the Lord, did you have a moment of this epiphany, this, yep, I want to do it, and then you talked to your wife, and she said, let's do it eventually? I mean, did you, Rob, have a personal moment yourself, though, where you thought, uh-huh?
No, it was a process.
Okay.
It was a process. I don't have those. You know, I never say God told me to do something.
Yeah.
I don't that's not my thing. I never heard God's voice. It's just, you know, a gentle tug.
Yeah.
You know, and this was a gentle tug that I tugged against.
Yeah.
Sometimes the tug just keeps going, and I think the older you get, the more discerning I get. So where there's things early on in my life, I thought, oh, God wants me to do it, and you're like, I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you get more discerning. And this is one that I feel, yeah, I should do this.
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, you're smart. You've got great energy, and you're a pro. So I know this will be really fun to watch.
498 days
yeah,
to go.
Nice to have you in studio, Rob.
Thanks. Good to be
here. Yeah, Rob Barrett's been my guest, Rob Barrett Jr. Go to robbarrettforsenate.com if you want to see what we were talking about and see his very entertaining video that he put together. That wraps up our show for the day. I'm awfully glad that we had this time together. And if you missed any of the show, you can go to myfaithradio.com and go to the show page and see what you missed. Thanks for listening. As you lay your head on that pillow tonight, know that God is working out his great, great plan in your life. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.